Tav Tzadi Vav Hey. Parsha Tzadah. We have a the discussions of building further Kalim in the Mishkan and the Mizbech and the Bezalel, the people who built it as well. A lot of architectural rules and people who were great leaders who helped us in these processes is a lot of the parsha we have. Right before we discuss the next week's parsha, which is the Egel Azav, which is when everything kind of goes downhill. Today happens to be also the Yortzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's a very significant day, Zayin Adar. He was born and died on this day. So this is a day that has tremendous potential in general in Klal Yisrael. So anything I say today, if it resonates in your ears and it means something to you, should be, I don't know if Moshe Rabbeinu needs our schuyos, but should be an honor and a memory of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the leader of all Klal Yisrael. And everything we learned today is really through his Mesorah that we were given. If you look at the parsha, it describes the people, Bezalel and others, who built the Mishkan, and it says, it calls them the Chachmei Lev. It says they Chachmei Lev, and the Torah describes, Asher Bileisiv Ruach Chachma. Hashem says, I gave them Chachma, but it calls them Chachmei Lev first. The people who were wise of heart, who I gave Chachma, which implies that the wisest of a heart preceded the Chachma. Chachmei Lev came before they ever received Chachma. How can someone be a Chacham Lev? What does that even mean? But whatever that meant, that's what got them Chachma from Hashem. The Chachma to build the Mishkan, the Chachma to be able to know how to build the Kelim, that was because they possessed a character trait called Chachmei Lev, wise of the heart. What does it mean to be wise of the heart? So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz brings down and says, we can learn out what Chachmei Lev is from the biggest Chacham in the world. Smartest person that ever lived, walked the face of the earth. Who was? Anyone know who was? Shlomo HaMelech. He was called the wisest man to ever grace the earth. Moshe Rabbeinu was lo kam ki Moshe od, as a Navi. Shlomo HaMelech says he knew the language of animals. No one was as wise as Shlomo HaMelech. What made him wise? So one time he was asked by Kadosh Baruch Hu, what do you want? Anything in the world that you want, whatever you want, I'll grant it to you. Whatever you want, you can have. You want health. You want osher, wealth. You want kavod. You can get whatever you want. I'm God. I gift. Yours for the taking. What do you want? He said, I want chachma. I want wisdom. And God said, I like your answer so much, I'm giving you wisdom and everything else also. Jackpot bonus. Got it all. He was the first chacham lev. Because all he wanted in the world was truth. He just wanted wisdom. Nothing more than wisdom. Would you rather be someone who's completely, you know, in a different planet, not seeing reality, but you're loaded? Imagine a person, Nebuch, who's mentally handicapped, but he's got tons of money. What kind of, he would trade with you in a second if he knew to trade. He would trade with you in a second, trade with all of us in a second. You're someone who's wise, you understand how the world works, you understand how people work. It's the most important thing in life. Money is below that even. Your knowledge, your mind, your understanding, your comprehension, that's what a true Chacham Lev is. I one time heard a story. It was from someone when I was in the Gris Kol, actually many, many years ago. Someone in BMT, his name was, maybe you know him, Joey Tabush. He's probably, you know, probably 10 of those guys, Joey Tabush. Anyways, his name was Joey Tabush. And he was in BMT. We learned Pirkei Avos together. And we're learning about the importance of being Shoseh Bitsama Esdivrayim. You should drink with thirst the words of the rabbis. So he told me the following story. And I'm not sure or not, but this is the story he told me, and I'll repeat it to you in his name. Aristotle, as he was getting older in life, he was getting on in life, and he was going to leave the world soon, there were people who were vying to be his disciple, the next Aristotle. So some guy came in one time, a very smart guy, well-read guy, came over to one time and says to him, I want to be the next version of you. Teach me everything you got. He's like, get out of here, young blood. You know, there's only one version of me. He's not going to... But over and over, persistence, this guy comes and asks me, he says, you want to be the next version of me? He says, you bet I do. Okay? So he walked with him. He said, follow me. He walks him through the forest. He walks to the forest after him. He goes to a lake. He walks to the lake next. He walks into the lake. And he's like, yay high, neck high, into the lake. The guy's walking with him. He's a true pupil, a true Talmud of Aristotle. And he said to him, you really want to become the next version of Aristotle? He says, you bet I do. So he took the head of the pupil and he shoved it in the ground, in the water. The guy's like, you know, whatever, okay. You know, it's funny for the first 5 seconds, maybe 10 seconds. But it stops being funny when you start to lose your oxygen. And the boy's like, you know, fighting, pushing down, pushing him down, as he feels the body going limp. You know, as he's finally giving up hope of ever surviving, he pulls the guy's head out of the water. The guy's gasping for breath. He's about to vomit everything he's got in his stomach. He says to him the following line: when you want to know as much as you want to breathe, then you can be in the next Aristotle. So that happens, he says, get lost. And the guy got lost. He wasn't interested in being, you know, threatened or drowned anymore. Chacham Belev is someone who's not okay with not understanding every last piece, every last detail. He's not okay with it. We learn, the way we learn Gemara, the way we learn today, we learn, we try, we kind of get, we kind of not get, and we go on. And we don't like it. We don't like it. Because if you learn something and you don't understand what you're even talking about, it's not fun, it's not enjoyable. Picture you played a sport, and you don't know all the rules for it. Every time you're like, oh, it's a double dribble. What? I didn't do anything wrong. No, it's double, I'm telling you, it's double dribble, and you're like, okay, I can't, I just don't get the sport, I don't understand it. I must not be good at it, because I'm trying, I don't really understand it, I can't explain it to somebody else. And you kind of like just like give up. It's not fun for you. Learning for us is something that is the greatest gift that God could give us. He gives himself. A piece of himself in the Torah. There's nothing else we could... How do we connect to God? How do you connect to someone that you want to learn about who's in history? You study him, read diaries about him. Maybe if you know someone who met him, you'd ask him about that person. You do everything you could to find out about a person. When you have an actor who wants to play a role, someone who, let's say, who's not alive, they interview the person's parents, the person's friends, look at every newspaper article they possibly find. They want to know who this person, I want to be this person. We're created by God. We're a version of God ourselves even. But God gave you the greatest gift. I'll give you a little insight into me. It's right over here. It's called the Torah. It's called learning. It's called Tanakh, Torah Sheba'al Peh, Gemara. It's the pursuit of every person who cares with all their heart to understand what is it that God wants from us. And why? Why did God want that from us? Who cares this or that? Whatever it is, man, I want to understand every last, either because it's the most perfect thing in the world, because God is perfect. And it's the written version of whatever he gives us. I want a piece of it also. We can learn just how intensive one has to be when he's striving for kedusha and for knowledge. What it means to be a real Chacham Lev around the corner, a week from today, is at my perm, not yours, but my perm, a week from today. You come, hopefully, join us in Beit Shemesh, and you dance with us and sing with us and not drink a lot with us. Maybe a little sip you'll have, but nothing more than that. We learn a perm. It's not your perm. Your perm is the next thing. It's your perm. We learn from the perm story just what it means, someone who's so demanding for every last piece of information or of ability. By the Rasha Haman. Haman is the king Rasha. He's the king. How did Haman feel? Haman was mamish, like the second in command. He ran 127 countries as a vice president, basically, with Achashverosh. He had everything in his hands. But you know what? You know what he said? Kol ze einenu shavali. It means nothing to me. You know why? Why did it mean nothing to him? Not the Jews. There was one person in his entire kingdom of 127 across the world that wouldn't bow. Really? That gets your goat? Like, get over it, Haman. You've got millions who would lick your feet if you asked them to. One little Jew? Grow up. You want to make a whole ruckus over one person? Yeah. Kol ze einenu shavali. Nothing matters to me anymore. Nothing matters to me other than that. Because he wanted something fully. He was a Chacham Lev for Rishus. Nothing mattered to him if he couldn't get it all. And he fought for every last drop of it. You and I, we fight for the last drop. We don't fight. It's too hard for me. I don't do the back of the book. It's not my thing. This is hard. We don't fight for it. We give up. Let me do something that's a little easier for me. I like Bikias more. I like doing that more. I'm a good guy. You know, I adopted the other day. We don't fight. You're not fighting to be the best version of yourself. You do what you want to do. You do what you want. Right now it's recruiting season. I tell you how many people have reached out to me that we're speaking about yeshiva and say to me, I'm more of a spirituality kind of guy. I like the singing more than the actual learning part. Like, you know, where does that fit into Torah Traga? So I don't want to talk about that so much in Torah Traga. I don't want. What do you mean you're not a learning kind of guy? What? I'm more the singing type of guy, not the learning. What? You're willing to give up on that? You want to give up? Picture the greatest gazelle you have in the world. And if, just for a second in your mind, if you picture them in a picture, are they usually jumping up and down and singing, or are they singing the same in front of them? You should at least have a target. It doesn't mean you'll get there. You want to be great in religion? Maybe you don't. That's a separate question, which we can question ourselves, and why not? But you want to be great. You're not the guy dancing on top of the Nachman truck. It's not the guy who's... You don't the Gdolma don't do that. That's not what they did. They sat and they worked like a dog. Where they weren't good at it. But they made it their business to become better at it. I remember you can ask Ty this question. When Ty Gerber was looking to us and another yeshiva at the time, he goes to me, I'm not into Gemara so much. I don't want to do so much Gemara. I'm not good at it. I like other things better than that. I like, you know, a little more... So I said to him, Ty, you can ask this question. He tells it to me all the time whenever we see each other all the time. He says to me... He told me the following example, he said to me. I may have given examples in the past in this year. Kobe Bryant, who was at the peak, he was maybe the best player for a number of years in the NBA. A number of years. I don't want to fight which years he was, wasn't, I don't care. While he was in his peak, there was one thing he wasn't felt so comfortable, he wasn't as good at as he'd like to be, which was post moves. He went to Hakeem Olajuwon's big man camp for an off-season to learn better post moves. He could have taken time off with his wife or with his mistress if he wanted to. He could have.
Allegedly.
No, that's not true. Alleged rape. Not alleged mistress. Legit mistress, alleged rape.
Oh.
Alleged. No, not alleged. It's legit.
Yet didn't even file for divorce.
It's not from that. Anyways.
Defending
the boy. Shh.
Talk about.
He made his business, spent his offseason perfecting the part of his game he wasn't so good at. It is so easy to do what you're good at. It's so easy. It's so much harder to do what you're bad at. But if you want to become a better person, don't invest yourself in what you're ready, excited, and good at. You work at what you're not good at. So when you get better at it, you become much more well-rounded. That's what a person who cares to become better wants to do. A person who's a little lazier, who's okay with mediocrity, I'm already good enough. I don't need to learn that extra move. I'm fine with where I am right now. That person's not a chacham leiv. Kobe Bryant was a chacham leiv for ball. It's chacham leiv. Right now is the Olympics, Winter Olympics. People train for close to a decade sometimes for a 2-minute run down a slope. A 2-minute run. They'll work for you know, let's say there was a person recently who was who went for the Olympics and they were hurt and they didn't make that. They worked for 8 years. 8 years to have a chance to win a gold or a silver or a bronze, but just for, no, because they were hurt the last Olympics. They missed the last one. 8 years they worked for a 2-minute run down a mountain that maybe gets them a gold medal. It was worth it for them. It was worth it. If they get the gold, it's worth it. Because they didn't give up. They were the best in the world at that sport. That is not our goal. Best in the world is not our goal. The best version of yourself is our goal. Because back in those days, only one person wins a gold. For us, anyone wins a gold. You work. You learn for 14 hours in a row. First of all, you'd be crazy to do that. But you do that. And every moment of your day you spend learning, gold. Gold. By the way, the guy next to you also gets a gold. Not giving to one person only. Any person who wants it bad enough, who's a chacham leiv, gets gold. If at the end of the day you only got through 3 lines and you were wrong with what you even read, you were wrong. You didn't read it right. Gold. Because you tried your hardest. You worked as best as you could. Gold. I'll tell you an unbelievable idea. Yeshua ben Nun, Rashi quotes this in Parshas Mishpatim. He was a chacham leiv. He was like a dog in being a student of Moshe Rabbeinu, in a good way, D-A-W-G, of being a student of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeshua ben Nun. Moshe Rabbeinu went to the mountain for 40 days to get the Torah. Yeshua camped by the mountain. For 40 days he camped there. Why? So when he came down, for a few extra minutes, he got to walk Moshe Rabbeinu before he got to everyone else in the camp, and he was bombarded with everyone asking what was going on up there. He sat for 40 days for a few minutes. Sounds crazy. But let me ask you a question. Picture your favorite fill in the blank, athlete, actor, singer, whatever it is, person. Imagine you could do something for 40 days and you get to drive that person around for a day. You would do it. You, for a day with that person, in a second. Then I can talk to you. But you get to drive them around? Yeah, in a second I'll do it. Why? Because you care what that person has to offer. You want to be near that person. The Ribbono Shel Olam. You don't want to be near the Ribbono Shel Olam. You don't want to spend every second that you can, I don't mean of your life, but that you can, spending time with the creator of the world, who gifted life to you. A Chacham Lev would not allow himself to bottle for a second. He wouldn't allow it. That's a second less of time spent with God. That's what a Chacham Lev is. Someone who demands from himself, great Yeshua, for an extra 5 minutes of walking with Moshe Rabbeinu. 40 days he slept in a sleeping bag outside by a mountain. Who knows how hot or cold it was. Probably uncomfortable. But for a few extra moments. The other day they had Rav Tursky, who always in the base medicine around, is this tremendously imposing person. When you speak to him, he's the most gentle giant and a tremendous mention of Midos, and he's my mom's role model in almost every single way possible. He spoke to Rabbi Shemesh the other day. They asked, who wants to drive him back? Back to Yerushalayim afterwards. Rabbi Zinkin, his Talmud from YU years ago, a Rebbe himself, drove Rabbi Shemesh so he could drive back with Rabbi Tursky in the car for 45 minutes alone. Just to be able to talk to him about life. Who of us would have volunteered to drive back a rabbi alone just to us in a car? It's a little awkward. We can talk about it. I don't know. What do you want to talk about? 45 minutes. I'll call him later. We'll do that. Because the opportunity to spend time with a great person. Just end off with one small point and then we'll stop. I was reading a book. I have a book in the restroom in my house. Called Good Stories for Public Speakers. I don't usually use much of them, but there's one that was a cute story. There was a guy who says it was a priest. He was a priest and he was tending to his garden any given day, whatever it was. And the guy next to him came over, hey, you know, Father, this was the last day of your life. What would you do right now? What would you do right now? It's the last day of your life. So the priest says, I would finish tending to my garden. That's how the story ends. Doesn't tell you what he's supposed to get from it, but this is what I got from it. The priest would do right now, same thing he would do for his last day of his life. He would do the same thing right now as he do the last day of his life. Same thing. This was important to him. He lived every single day. This was it. How would I want to end off? So we all have our own bucket lists, I'm sure. I mean, I never made my own, but you have in your mind what you would like to do in your life. I wonder how many of us, myself included, would spend our last day of our life in the base of Medrash learning or doing a mitzvah. We probably do something that's physically enjoyable. Probably what we do. Because you're putting your stock in your physicality, which a day later is over. And I can promise you won't remember anymore because you're not here. You have a choice of physicality or spirituality. Assuming there's a God, and assuming there's Olam Haba, that's all you take with you. That's it. But most of us will probably spend our last day not pursuing spiritual goals. The priest said, I would do this in my last day of my life, so he did it now also. That's how we judge, should I do it now or not? What I do it in the last day of my life? You're in yeshiva for a year, not even, all told. And we're more than halfway past it. We're more, much more. And there's a week until Purim, 1 week left. Who among us is a Chacham Lev? Who demands from himself to get better at things he's not good at? Not stop and dabble what he already does nicely. I'm a good guy, congratulations. I'm happy you are, I am, I'm not kidding. But don't you want to be a better Jew? More well-rounded? What you're bad at, get better in? When the Gemara is like imposing, that's exactly your greatest point, opportunity is to work at it. So you can leave more well-rounded. As a true Chacham Lev. If Haman wouldn't rest until every single Jew bowed to him, and one Jew meant he wasn't happy, then neither should you rest if there's one aspect of your life that you're not good at yet. Kobe Bryant didn't rest. He was a Chacham Lev. Every Olympic athlete didn't rest for years, close to a decade, some of them even. They wouldn't rest for the chance to be the best version of himself, the best in the world. We're not asking the best in the world. But the best of yourself, certainly. And besides all your efforts, you put in this one last piece you have to do, and that's to daven for it. To daven for it. When you're daven for Baruch Hu, you're daven for Atachon L'Ondas. Give me knowledge. So all the frustration you have, just get close your eyes and get vent to them. I want to understand you, God. I want to learn your Torah. I don't get anything. I don't get it. It just doesn't do it for me. So daven for it. Put your thesis backwards in your Shmoneh Esrei. So say, I want to be a Chacham Lev. I want to be the opposite of Haman. I want to be such a big tzaddik. If I have one thing wrong with me, I'm not happy. Instead of, yeah, I'm pretty good already, I'm satisfied. So daven for it. With your attitude and with your tefillah, with your Shem, with your Mizoch, and 1 week from today and from tomorrow, to have the greatest Purim of our lives, at least until next year, and be able to rejoice in the highest way possible with your Ribono Shel Olam. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's your time today. It's a day of tremendous Kedusha. Daven well, learn well, have a great Shabbos.